KMTT, Ki Nitzion Tetzei Torah, welcome back. And today is Wednesday, and in this summer's man, the Wednesday shiur will be given by Harav Moshe Tarragon, a shiur on ethical character, midot, ethical attributes and character. Harav Moshe Tarragon.
Last shiur described the danger of the trait of arrogance, that amongst all the traits of human character, which the Rambam encourages or endorses, the Midah Beinonis, the middle or balanced approach, there are two traits which the Rambam, in the second parak of Hilchos Deot, warns against any moderation. They have to be eliminated or extinguished in an extreme and uncompromising fashion, one of them being arrogance. The second one, the Rambam writes, V'chein hakas, anger, Midah or rage, Midah rahi ad lema'od, is a terrible trait. And here too, the Rambam endorses a extreme tilting of human character and development away from any trace of anger or fury. The Rambam describes anger perhaps being staged by the head of a household, by a parent, but not truly felt. A person can pretend or project anger when in a state of absolute calm and equilibrium. And then the Rambam cites various sources for the dangers of anger. Amru Chachamim, the Rambam writes, Kol HaKoes Ki'ilu Oved Avodas Kochavim. The Rambam is lifting here from two different Makaros. One is a Mishnah in Avos Driv Nasan. And Avos Driv Nasan in Perek Dalet, actually, is one of the variant editions of Avos Driv Nasan. It's known as Nuscha Beis. There are two different editions of Avos Driv Nasan. So in Avos Driv Nasan, Perek Dalet of Nuscha Beis, the Mishnah writes, Hamishaber es kelav, v'hazorekes bigadav, a person who expresses his anger. Notice, Avos Driv Nasan is opposed to the expression of anger. It's not describing whether you feel anger. So Avos Driv Nasan is encouraging anger management, not necessarily anger elimination. So if a person acts upon anger, Hamishaber es kelav, he throws items and either breaks them or attempts to break them, tears his clothing. Ki'ilu oved avodah zarah, very harsh equivalency, very harsh associations. It's like he worships foreign deities. Now, according to Avos Driv Nasan, the comparison between anger and avodah zarah stems from the lack of any boundaries and the vulnerability which submission to anger both reflects and also generates. Namely, by displaying such utter lack of control, such inability to maintain or to coordinate moral will and impose it upon emotional torrent or emotional strain, emotional response, person has displayed or even created vulnerability for future temptation and the type of temptation which could even lead to idolatry, but not necessarily idolatry exclusively, but any type of temptation and failure. The Mishnah continues, Shayom Omer Lo Yitzro Shaberes Kelecha Vikra Kisuscha. Because on this day, the Yitzhar has overpowered, and has that overpowering has created a mode of submission to a Yitzhar, submission to hormones, to emotional needs, to personal aggravation. And today's submission will precipitate or facilitate tomorrow's continued vulnerability. Ulamachara Omerlo, tomorrow the Yitzhara will suggest Lechavod Avodazara. So according to Avos Driv Nasan, the danger is in what today's explosion, today's volcanic eruption has demonstrated, and is not just demonstrated but even contributed to, the inability to impose a moral balance upon very deeply felt emotions or instincts. This sentiment is expressed as well in a statement of Rabbi Nachman's in Nedarim Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, someone who is always angry. Biadua she'avonosav mirubin mizichuyosav. It is quite evident that this person is a sinner, will become a sinner, hasn't conditioned the ability of self-restraint or imposing self-control. Shenemar, Rabbi Nachman quotes a pasuk. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Ubal chema rav pesha, a person who is a bal chema, constantly full of rage and anger, rav pesha, is overwhelmed and suffused with sin. So the Rambam, on the one hand, is quoting this Mishnah in Avos Driv Nasan, paralleled by the Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Beis Amud Beis. But the earlier stage of the Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Beis Amud Aleph articulates it in a more structural and inherent manner. The Lashon of the Gemara is Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Kol HaKoes Afilu Shechina Eina Chashuva Kinegdo. Person who is angry, even the Shechina is worthless, is trivial. Shenema Rasha Kagova Apo Bal Yidrosh Ein Elohim Kol Mizimosav. So this statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, as opposed to the statement in Avos Driv Nasan, as opposed to the statement of Nachman by Yitzchak, doesn't speak of today's anger as inviting tomorrow's moral deterioration. This statement, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Yud, Rasha Kegova Apo Bal Yidrosh Ein Elohim Kol Mizim Osav, that in the moment of anger itself, the submission or the expression of anger can only be conducted if there is a blurring or a neglect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The presence of Ribbono Shel Olam, the concept of Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samid, should influence a moderating or tempering effect on personal anger. And by contrast, the expression of anger driven by ego, driven by self-evaluation, an egotistical self-evaluation which can only be prompted by at least the slight blurring of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this indicates almost idolatry. And the Rambam perhaps phrases it in very harsh terms, Kol HaKoes Kilo Oved Avodas Kochavim. The original language of the Gemara, Afilu Shechina Eina Chashuva Kinegdo, the language of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and not simply because today's weakness will invite or enable further transgression, but in the very expression of anger lies the lack of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that lack of recognition is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. So this is the first ideal the Rambam describes, the first danger of Kas, Kiyilu Oved Avodah Zarah. The second statement he makes is also taken from the Gemara Nedarim. The Amru, Shekol HaKoes, Im Chacham Hu, Chach Masal Mistalekes Mimenu, the Im Navi Hu, Nivu Asal Mistalekes Mimenu. Now the Rambam describes not the severity of the chet of kas, of the trait of anger, but the consequences. This is also based on a Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim on Chav Beis and Aleph describes Moshe Rabbeinu, describes the three times, actually, the Rambam is not citing the Gemara in Nedarim, but a Gemara in Pesachim. It's a Gemara which introduces Reish Lakish Amar, Kol Adam Shekoes, whoever is angry, Im Chacham Hu, Chachmasal Mistalekes, Im Navi Hu, Nivuasa Mistalekes, that the consequence, the punishment for anger is the loss of religious information, religious knowledge, Torah knowledge, and the loss of religious inspiration of the prophetic spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that enables Nivuah. The Medrash, as well as the Gemara in Pesachim, cite Moshe Rabbeinu as the example of a person who lost his Torah, or his prophetic spirit, as a consequence of anger. The Medrash says, Amar Rav Huna, it's a Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Yud Gimel, B'shlosha Mekomos Kas Moshe, V'nis'al Mimenu Halacha. There are three instances in the Torah where Moshe is quick to anger, has a quick fuse. Interestingly enough, the Medrash does not mention the most obvious, the moment of the Be'er, Mei Meriva, where Moshe was instructed to speak to the rock and ended up hitting the rock and was punished and banned from entering Eretz Yisrael. And presumably, part of Moshe's failure, maybe it's too harsh a word, but part of Moshe's error, the error that causes such a disproportionately severe punishment, is not just hitting versus speaking, but the anger he displayed. The anger he displayed in a violent or aggressive type of an action, hitting as opposed to speaking, and in part the anger which was contained in his language, Shimuna Hamorim Hamin Hasela Zenatzila Chamayim, calling them rebels or outcasts or misfits. The Medrash doesn't quote this moment because there is no particular halacha which Moshe forgot based on that moment of fury. The three instances the Medrash cites are Shabbos in Parshas Bishalach, where Moshe is angry at the people who have attempted to collect man on Shabbos despite his warnings to the contrary. Kli Matachos, when the soldiers returned from the Battle of Midian in Parshas Matos, and they were instructed very carefully about not allowing any female survivors as possible temptations, and yet they did. And of course, a very famous instance in Parshas Shemini, where Moshe is angry at the presumed misprocessing of the korbanos, the special korbanos, which were burnt instead of eaten. And finally, Aharon corrects Moshe Rabbeinu. So these are the three instances of the Medrash where Moshe's anger causes a dissipation of his knowledge. He forgets the halacha, and Parshas Matos, Eliezer has to, son of Aaron, has to deliver the halacha in Elazar Kohen. In Parshas Shmini, Aaron has to correct Moshe, Vayitav Beinei Moshe, Moshe, Vayitav Beinav Moshe, concedes and acknowledges that the korbanos should not have been eaten in the normal way, that they should have been offered in the standard way. In each instance, of course, Moshe is correct to a degree for expressing dissatisfaction or disapproval, because in each case his wishes had been disobeyed, had been neglected, had been ignored. But in each instance, perhaps expressing disapproval was appropriate, but the level of anger which was voiced was unacceptable. When the Avestra of Nasan, in this case Nuscha Aleph, cites this instance, or at least it cites one instance of Moshe Rabbeinu's anger, it employs a very interesting phrase. Avestra of Nasan, commenting on really the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that first set of instructions, Shimon HaTzadik Hayu Mishiari Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Shimon HaTzadik lived at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, towards the end of the first stage of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the first three statements authored in Pirkei Avos by Avos Rav Nasan, Hasusya Glatara Havim Misunim Madin Vehamido Tamidim Harbe. Havim Misunim Madin is typically interpreted as a statement to judges about being temperate and deliberate and patient, rather than impetuous in rendering judgment. Perhaps it doesn't merely speak to judges, it speaks to every person in his judgment of his peers, and the dangers of judgmentalism, not just legal judgment. But Avos Rav Nasan reinterprets the statement of Misunim Badin. Misunim Badin doesn't refer to an evaluation as much as communication, and particularly communication in the moment in which your wishes had been disobeyed. Ketzad, Avos Rav Nasan continues, Malamet she'adam mamsin bidvarav. Person should be mamsin, one can say moderate, soft, calm. Ve'al yehi makbid al devarav. And a person shouldn't be makbid on devarav, demanding, imposing expectations, disappointed when his requests aren't fulfilled. Shekol ha-makbid al divarav mishacheach es divarav. Whoever is too demanding about his wishes ultimately forgets his Torah knowledge. Shekein matzino b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'shar shahaya makbid al divarav mishacheach divarav. When Moshe was too demanding and too expecting of his wishes, he forgot his Torah. And the Mishnah cites the instance of Parshas Matos where Moshe is makbid al devarav, again the final language of the Mishnah, shehikbid al devarav, vayikzav Moshe al pekudei achayil. What's fascinating about this employment of the term hikbid al devarav is it doesn't only describe rage or anger or a furious communication. It describes really the root of anger. When dealing with anger or responding to anger, there really are two strategies. One strategy is anger management. Thomas Jefferson authored his own Ten Commandments. He wanted to create moral guidelines for human behavior. So one of his Ten Commandments, he writes, when angry, count to 10. When extremely angry, count to 100. It's a recognition that anger is a very difficult emotion to control. And Jefferson is preaching not the elimination of anger, but at least the ability to manage anger, and in this case, to wait until anger has passed as a brief interlude of lunacy, and to recognize that actions taken under the influence of anger will be mortifying or embarrassing and won't ultimately reflect the interests or values of the angry person, or at least the real values when anger hasn't interfered or distorted that system. And certainly the original Mishnah that I cited from Avos Rav Nasa Nuscha Beis Perek Daled describes not the elimination of anger, but just the ability to manage anger and pretty much just to, as we would say, ride it out or wait it out. The Mishnah speaks about a person who demolishes kelim or tears clothing, wanton and uncontrolled response to anger. This Mishnah in Avos Rav Nasa in the Nuscha Aleph, the more classic version, Perek Aleph, describes the sources of anger. Anger is always driven, or even if it's not driven, it's certainly sustained by self-evaluation, by self-importance. I have certain needs and expectations, privileges and rights, and when those rights are taken either by fate, a person gets stuck in a traffic jam or gets into the wrong lane or his time or his needs are interfered with circumstantially or incidentally, and certainly when those needs are compromised through active decisions or behavior of another, then anger is quick to develop because I have evaluated my time, my resources, my needs as more important than my fellow person's needs. And certainly if that person is interfering, even if that person isn't actively interfering, why is my time being compromised and challenged? Why are my needs being affected and his aren't? And at a certain point, anger shouldn't just be managed, but should be aggressively eliminated. And humility, last week's topic, and lack of inflation of ego and inflation of personality are certainly the way in which to limit not the expression of anger, but even the evolution of anger. It's a beautiful Mishnah, again, in Avos Rav Nasa, the classic version. It's a very well-known story, Perek Tesvav, based on the Mishnah, Al Tehi Noach Lichos. It's a Mishnah, again, in Perkei Avos, Al Tehi Noach Lichos. And here, the recommendation of the Mishnah is not just about limiting the expression of anger, but trying to even limit the development of anger, Al Tehi Noach Lichos. So the Mishnah describes the paradigm of someone who is slow to anger. Ketzad melame cheheki hilal hazakein. Person should be like hilal hazakein, who was very slow to anger. And it describes hilal as an anaf. He should be humble like hilal hazakein, in this case, contrasting hilal with Shammai, who was a kapdan, again, who wasn't just someone who was angry, but was always, to a degree, purist, that we know about Shammai, but always expected his needs, his requests, his statements to be adhered to. And Hillel had less expectations. And the Midrash or the Mishnah elaborates upon the humility of Hillel. Mahaya in Vesanu Social Hillel Azakein, how was Hillel's humility expressed? And it describes the well-known story of two people who wagered. One wagered with the other that he could induce anger. He could infuriate Hillel. The other one, knowing Hillel's virtue, of course, took the wager. So the person who bet on Hillel's anger approached him Shabbos, Friday afternoon, as he was preparing for Shabbos, and he knocked on the door incessantly, and he asked him all sorts of irrelevant and almost childish questions. Why are the eyes of people from the area of Tormid, why are they slanted, perhaps referring to Far East populations? And Hillel quietly reviewed his question and offered an answer, even though it was in the latter stages of Erev Shabbos preparation. After answering this question, Hillel returned to his preparation, and then the person knocked again and asked, why are the legs of Africans, wide Afrikim, and Hillel answered his question. And these were seemingly either, at the very least, irrelevant questions, embarrassing questions, or inappropriate questions for Erev Shabbos. They weren't questions of gravity. And attempting again and again to anger Hillel, this better, this wager, was unsuccessful. And at a certain point, he actually was so angry at Hillel's patience and tolerance that he even said something very, very insulting to Hillel. So the story of this illustration, the purpose of this illustration, is that Hillel's anger suppression was not some active moral decision to contain or restrain his emotions of anger, but he had such a low self-evaluation, his needs were not seen as superior or supreme, that when they were abused, and in this case they were intentionally and aggressively manipulated, in most cases we become angry not even based on aggressive manipulation, but just because our needs are interfered with, again, casually and by fate and fortune, not necessarily through human intervention. Hillel is being portrayed as the opposite of a kapdan. Again, Shammai in this case is described as a kapdan. Hillel is described as an anav, the opposite of kapdan. And getting back to that original statement in the Medrash, or the original statement of Avos Rav Nosson, Moshe Rabbeinu is described as a kapdan, as not just someone who, in these three instances, allowed his anger to be expressed, but was brought to anger because of, in this case, even a slight level of self-evaluation which caused the anger. And in this lies the reason that the punishment for anger is the loss of Torah knowledge. The Gemara in Pesachim, which I read earlier, describes a moral situation. The Gemara says, "Afilu poskin alav gedula," even someone that had been fated for greatness, moridin oso, min hashamayim, they will punish him, and the content of this punishment will be a devaluation, a demotion from certain religious potential or religious standing, and part of that demotion is the loss of Torah knowledge. Part of that demotion is the loss of prophetic ability, each of which are not just intellectual or cerebral achievements, but have to be complemented and assisted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly, the prophetic inspiration of Nevuah is, at some level, a divine delivery. There's a machlokas we showed him as to how much human preparation is necessary to enable or allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to empower and endow prophetic spirit. But either way, and the Rambam is notable in assuming that a Navi isn't just a mouthpiece for divine words, but a Navi has cultivated the type of virtue and moral integrity and interest and knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide suitable complementary prophetic endowment. But even the Rambam assumes that prophecy can't just be achieved without divine decision. And by juxtaposing the loss of prophecy to the loss of Torah knowledge, the same statement is being issued about Torah. Torah study isn't merely intellectual, but has to be delivered by the Rabboni Shel Olam, and the Rabboni Shel Olam does not see the angry person nor the arrogant person as the proper recipient of Torah knowledge. So in this respect, anger and humility, or anger and arrogance, are each parallel in that they engender a loss of Torah knowledge as a moral consequence. But the loss of Torah knowledge is not simply a moral reality, it's an intellectual reality as well. As I mentioned in a previous year, retaining and acquiring Torah knowledge is not just an intellectual experience, but is a moral pursuit. If we truly see the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as encrypted in Torah, as encoded in Torah, so Torah knowledge becomes a pursuit that demands relentless, almost uncompromising interest and energy. So our ability to understand is not just linked or not just tethered to our intellectual aptitude, but to the interest we pour and to the concern that we show and to the recognition of Torah as the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. retaining. We retain knowledge that's important to us. We forget knowledge that's less important. Something which our lives were based upon or staked upon, we'd certainly remember. If we saw Torah as eternal, as the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would forget it. We wouldn't forget it as quickly. It's a beautiful medrash in Parshas Ki Tisa, that had we heard the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, in reality, we only heard two mitzvahs, and the rest was relayed by Moshe Rabbeinu, a basar v'dam, a human being, a human agent, a human intermediary. But had we heard the entire Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, we would never have forgotten one single word of Torah. This medrash presumably doesn't only describe a supernatural reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice would have created a level of understanding that would have been more difficult to elapse from the human consciousness, but not just a supernatural reality, but an existential and intellectual one. We would have seen Torah as the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we would have invested greater effort at understanding and retaining, cataloging and remembering and reviewing. But once Moshe Rabbeinu relayed the Torah, as the Medrash says, we saw Torah as the work of Basar V'dam, and we forgot that it's the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ignored that reality. So the acquisition of Torah knowledge is a moral crusade, not just an intellectual exercise. That moral crusade is driven by the sustained awareness of Torah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word and the evaluation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his word for its eternity and for its enormity. Once anger seeps into the human heart and into the human imagination, that interest in HaKadosh Baruch Hu necessarily, by definition, diminishes. There's no room for a full appreciation and submission and interest, infatuation with the Rabbanu Shalom when human ego, human anger, human evaluation dominates the human imagination. So when anger sets in, our view, our obsession almost, our enchantment with the Rabbanu Shalom diminishes, and that diminishing presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu obscures our interest in his Torah, and the obscuring of interest in Torah and in the eternity of Torah leads to the loss of Torah knowledge and Torah information. So when the Gemara in Pesachim, coupled with the Medrash in Vayikra, describe kol ha makbid al devarav, kol ha koes, nis'alm imenu halacha, forgets Torah, chachmasa mistalekes, it isn't merely describing a moral penalty as much as an intellectual reality. I mentioned before that the Rambam refers to this Gemara in Pesachim and to the Medrash when he writes Chachmasa Mistalekes, Nivuasa Mistalekes. Then the Rambam concludes this, doesn't really conclude the halacha, he quotes another consequence of Kas. Ubal Kas, Ein Chayehem Chayim. Person who is a Baal Kas, a person who is always angry, his life loses its inherent meaning. There doesn't seem to be any clear source for this Rambam, as opposed to the previous statements, Kalakoes, Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah, Chachmaso Mistalekes, the Gemara in Nedarim, the Gemara in Pesachim, Avas Rav Nosson. Here, the Rambam, when he writes, Ein Chayehem Chayim, doesn't link or doesn't describe a statement that has a evident or clearly evident source. But he is providing a third consequence of unrestrained anger. Number one, the lack of any interest or recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a moderating influence is tantamount to Avodah Zarah and also creates future vulnerability. Number two, his wisdom and his prophetic spirit diminish, are reduced, A, as a punishment from a penal standpoint, two, as a reality, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is less visceral, and the interest in Torah and in prophetic pursuit is less compelling. Third consequence is existential. Ein chayim chayim. And in this instance, the Rambam reminds us of a truism of moral failure. Halachically, alav she'ein bo maisa, a avera without a particular concrete activity, does not yield corporeal punishment. Ein bo malchus, ein bo mises beisdin. Now there are some averos that don't have an activity, even though they are acts, behavioral, for example, lashon hara. There's no activity of lashon hara. Speech is not considered a physical act, but there is a we can certainly call lashon hara, a crime. A person commits an act, a crime, a particular decision to take an action against another person. But many of the lav she'en bo maises are simply character traits, kas and kina and kavod. And obviously these have no penalty. Part of the reason that a lav she'en bo maise, at least the behavioral traits, the ugly behavioral traits, there is no penalty, because they don't need a penalty. The traits themselves are penalty enough. After all, what's the penalty for jealousy? Penalty for jealousy is itself jealousy. Person lives a jealous, envious lifestyle, unable to appreciate his own achievements, his own resources, the gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered him. Person who chases kavod is unable to act based on conviction, based on inner integrity, but is always acting based on public approval and public interest. That's a nightmare unto itself. Nowhere is this consuming effect of a behavioral or an ugly behavioral trait more evident than in the instance of anger. A person who's always angry and livid, furious and enraged, there's a emotional and moral instability that constantly hovers over that person's persona. And doesn't just make that individual unlikable and unattractive to others, but simply imbalanced and unsuccessful in responding to the challenges, to the varieties of life's events and expectations. So the Rambam, his third warning signal is not ideological, the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and not religious, the abdication of knowledge, simply existential, the Rambam writes. Uba lekas, ein chayehem chayim. Their life becomes worthless, becomes tasteless. And as with everything else, since our existence is at the baseline of our personality, as ironic as it sounds, that's the most severe punishment. That's the most severe consequence. Obviously, idolatry is a pretty severe experience, but when Chazal say, Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah, he hasn't really committed idolatry. It's just something which is flavored with the same tendency which idolatry is based upon. Same thing, a person loses his Chachma, Moshe Rabbeinu lost the Halacha here, Halacha there. When the Rambam describes Ein Chayim Chayim, he's describing a comprehensive and systemic emptiness and purposelessness to at least the moral, virtuous lifestyle.